Live from the Journeys Group studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Tate?
This is Tommy Tate.
Taking Care of Business. We are in the first week of November, week of Halloween into November. I truly forgot it was Halloween on Monday. I was leaving the office to go out of town for a meeting on Monday night and saw some kids dressed up and had genuinely just forgotten. I guess when I'm not dressing up and trick-or-treating.
It's a bad sign of adulthood.
Yeah, I guess if I'm not dressing up going trick-or-treating, because apparently at 27 years old, you're too old to be doing that anymore.
Well, I don't understand. There's all kinds of trick-or-treaters in Washington, D.C. We call them
clowns. Oh, I'm sorry.
There's one guy that dresses up as the president.
No, I think we've got a ventriloquist because he's just the puppet, you know?
By the way.
Yes.
Before we forget it, George and I and our family had the chance to go to Europe last week. We went to France and we met two very nice ladies that are from the Pennsylvania. Why are you laughing?
Oh,
that no. are from the Pennsylvania area. So if Miss Margaret and Miss Jenny are listening, we promised you we'd give you a shout out. This is our shout out. Hope you are doing well. Hope you had a good time trick or treating.
Yes.
Now back to the show.
Yes, back to the show. The week before the midterm elections, there's a lot of
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm so tired. Well, I'm ready for the results, and I'm just ready for the. I always hate this season because it's such a negative time. I was mulling over the political ads the other day, and kind of smirking to myself. And I'm talking on both sides here. I have not seen one political ad that has stated what any one candidate is going to do. All I see is what the other candidate is not going to do, or why they should be in jail, or how terrible they are. If you don't seek out information on what a candidate's platform is on your own, you're going to have no idea. And I'm sure that's strategic. I'm sure they figure that most people are not going to go look up what their candidate's platform is. And so they're relying on these, I hate to call it a smear campaign, but that's exactly what it is. They're relying on the smear campaign and just preying on people's ignorance. You know, you get people that say, wow, I can't believe he or she did that. I'm definitely not voting for them. But, anyway, this time, next week, it'll all be over.
It won't all be over because if it
goes the way we think it's going to go,
there'll be marches in the streets.
It's going to be nasty, yeah. But anyway, we'll just have to wait and see. There's been a lot of changes in the polls, really, even over the last couple of weeks, depending on, you know, which side you're on. You're either happy or not happy about it. But anyway, my name is George Pate. I'm a financial advisor with the Journeys Group.
My name is Tommy Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
We are an independent registered investment advisory firm in Aiden, which is right outside of Greenville, North Carolina. Our phone number is 252-746-6785. Again, that's 252-746-6785. Or you can find us on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of financial articles that we are regularly rotating on it. It has our contact information as well as our physical location. It has links to our social.
One correction. We are not regularly rotating on the website. The articles are.
Yes. Yeah.
Misplaced modifier.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Mom would appreciate that. It has links to our social media, our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Instagram page. As a matter of fact, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be filming some more professionally shot and edited YouTube videos.
Next week, as a matter of fact.
It is next week. That's right. Yep. Which is very exciting for the new year. So keep an eye out for that. It has a place if you have a question or want to set up an appointment with us. There's a little form you fill out with your question and contact information, and we will get in touch with you. And last but not least, it has our upcoming events, which our next one would be our Christmas party, which is December the 10th, I believe. Is that right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. December the 10th from 4 to 8. That's always a blast. And last but not least, it has the podcast Taking Care of Business up there. There's a launch page that'll take you to like 19 different podcast platforms. So pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts, we're probably on it. Drop us a follow there. So new episodes come out every Wednesday. You can go back and listen to some of the old stuff. And with that, I think we have satisfied our marketing gurus. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about the final leg of your journey becoming a certified financial planner.
We are talking about the reason why my eyes have been more glazed over than a Krispy Kreme donut for the past month and a half. Yes, I, depending on when you're listening to this, next Tuesday, which is what day is it? No, I'm sorry, next Monday, November the 7th, the day before Election Day, I take my final CFP exam. So I'm going to talk about that process and why we think it's important. And I'm going to be going to try not to complain too much. Really, this show is just to show you what being a CFP involves, how rigorous it is.
Why it's so rigorous?
Why we do it?
I'm already a CFP. Why do you want to become one?
Why do you want to do it? What it entails, and why we think it's important. So let's just jump right in. So to start off with, CFP stands for Certified Financial Planner. It is a legal title that you can't just give yourself. Nobody can just advertise themselves as a CFP. I mean, it is a trademarked title, and I say that because they have drilled it into us that this is a trademark. They hold it to the highest of standards. I mean, they have their own separate board that if you violate their code of ethics, you go before their board. And if they strip you of the title, that's it. I mean, it's a sacred thing to them.
Well, it's just I can tell you, having been one for a lot of years,
yeah, a lot of years, yeah,
yeah. A CFP is the pinnacle of the financial planning industry.
It's the apex of the art.
And I told George, if you're going to do this, you're going to do it the right way. You're going to become a CFP. It is extremely difficult. It has 7 national exams that have a pass rate of less than 50%. It basically separates the true professional from somebody just dabbling.
It separates people that are doing this as a job from people that are making it their career.
Well, the other thing, too, I think it's important is, and we've said this on our show before, too, is in our business you can deal with salesmen mm-hmm. or you can deal with a planner. And the only planner is a CFP.
Yeah. I mean, what the CFP curriculum teaches you is not how to sell. It teaches you how to develop a financial plan for somebody from stem to stern. I mean, it covers insurance to investing to estate planning and everything in between. So let's go into what exactly the curriculum entails. And again, I'm telling you all this just to show you, not to brag, not to moan and groan, just to show you how rigorous this stuff is, because that way, if you see somebody that's got CFP, you know they're serious about it. That's the whole point. So to start off with, you learn the fundamentals of financial planning, which involves there are 7 steps to a financial planning process. So you learn that. You learn about the CFP board's specific code of ethics, which ironically enough, the board's code of ethics are nothing different from a normal code of ethics. I mean, it's, you know, honesty, integrity, professionalism, confidentiality, stuff like that. Education planning. These are all kind of the fundamentals, what you need to know before you even start the whole process. And then we jump into insurance planning. There's a very logical path here to the classes where we've talked about the financial planning pyramid before, where, in this case, insurance is the foundation. You know, you got to have insurance, life insurance, health insurance, auto liability, whatever, before you do anything else. Because if you don't have that foundation of the pyramid and you try and climb the ladder too fast or climb the steps too fast and build up to the top, it's a long fall to the bottom if you don't have a fallback position. So insurance planning is all about assessing a client or a potential client's insurance needs. Again, it can be life insurance, it can be health insurance, disability, auto, liability. It really does a great job of showing you how comprehensive insurance can be, but more importantly, how you explain that to somebody. It's done a really good job of taking this stuff that is complicated and making it applicable and teaching you how to put it in plain English, so to speak, instead of using all these ridiculous long-winded terms and definitions and stuff like that, or at least that's how I've learned it. So start with the fundamentals, which is just, again, the basics, and then we go into insurance planning. after that is investment planning. Okay. That's your basics of when you hear all these terms, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, blah, 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 whatever. It pulls back the veil on all of that stuff. And it teaches you, when these things are appropriate. How do you value a stock or a mutual fund? How do you, and again, this is not something that we really believe in, but it's something that, you know, something that you have to learn. How do I value a stock so that I know when is a good time to buy or sell? You know, how do I value a company? It's incredibly in depth, and there's been many a day in the office where I've had it with it and turned around and looked at him and said, in not so many words, why the heck do I have to know this stuff? Because aren't there people that do this for us? I mean, I'm not a CFA. I'm not somebody that analyzes stocks or mutual funds or investments. That's not my forte. We work with people that do that. And so I have looked at him many times and said, why do I need to know this?
And I can tell you, as a CFP, I would not be telling the truth if I didn't tell you I've enjoyed his anguish over the last year and a half. It's 2 years, actually.
Been, broke off for 2 years. Yeah. No, it's been 2 years.
That's what I said, been 2 years, yeah.
Because I started in May of 20. It's just, I mean, it's sometimes this stuff is miserable because I'm just thinking there is no way I'm ever going to use this stuff. But it, instead of me worrying about making sure that I use it all, it's just given me the knowledge, the overall knowledge to help me talk the talk. It has helped me become much more knowledgeable and focused in my conversations with clients. It lets them know without me even trying that I know my stuff. And the whole purpose of this is not to show you, oh, look at me, I know my stuff. It's more designed to instill more confidence in whoever your planner is. Because again, this is the apex of the art form. So investment planning, all about how much value does something provide, the different kinds of investments. All right. My absolute favorite, income tax planning. I cannot tell you how many times I have slammed my computer shut and said, why the heck do I need to know this? I'm not a CPA, not ever going to be a CPA. This is why I work with CPAs. Why do I need to know this? Again, it's all about knowing just enough to be able to when a client has a tax question, I can give them a reasonably intelligent answer. I mean,
and again, it goes back again to so many decisions, so many recommendations that we make. The vast majority of them are long-term recommendations and they have impact on the estate planning. So if you're talking to a stockbroker mm-hmm. or a salesman that isn't, doesn't have knowledge in that arena, the advice you get may be good for today, may be disastrous for tomorrow.
Yeah, because we're playing the long game here, we have to, I think that's one of the things that besides the fact that I have to know this stuff to pass the exam, one of the things that kind of, I guess, settled it with me is that all of these things come into play when you're developing a plan. Even though I may not be a CPA or I may not be a CFA or an estate planning attorney, we're going to run into these things when it comes time to talk about a financial plan and to develop a financial plan. And so it's important that I at least have a fundamental understanding of this stuff, or any planner has a fundamental understanding of this stuff so that they can address those issues before they come up. You know, you don't want to be reactive when it comes to income tax or estate planning. You want to be proactive. I mean, anytime you're developing, the whole point of a financial plan is that you're being proactive. You are getting ahead of the curve. You're getting ahead of the ball so that when the time comes and these issues do come into play, you know, you've got an income tax situation, I don't know, an estate planning issue come into play. It's already been addressed or the groundwork has been laid, so you're not having to scramble to figure out a solution. So I love income tax. I cannot express to you how much fun it has been learning about the tax code, reading some of it. It has just been riveting. I remember I turned around one day when I was doing income tax and I looked at him and I said, I think the, how do I put this lightly? I'm trying to think of a nice word to describe the people at the IRS. The the individuals at the IRS. Sorry, I'm really having to.
I was going with swine, but okay.
Okay, the swine at the IRS. I despise the IRS. But I think one day they just, I told him, I think one day they just put a bunch of numbers and a bunch of words on a wall and just started throwing darts. And they decided that was going to be the limit for this particular tax rule, unless this. There are so many different, and this is where I have to give credit to CPAs. There are so many different tax laws for every possible situation. You've got exceptions to every rule, and they change every year. I mean, I don't know how anybody can keep up with it. And I don't, if anybody has ever read through the tax code, I don't know how they got through it, because it's full of contradictions. Anyway, all that to say, income tax, lots of fun, but incredibly important, because you're always going to run into a tax. You're going to run into a tax issue at some point in your life. There's going to be tax consequences, ramifications, something where income tax is going to come into play. And so it's really important that whoever you're working with factors that stuff in. I think we've talked about this a lot, that if your person's not factoring in income tax or inflation, they're doing you a disservice, quite frankly. So we've always told, we've talked a lot about, okay, when you're talking to your financial person, ask them how they've accounted for inflation. Also ask what their plan for income taxes. Have they accounted for this stuff when it comes time? So, again, something to think about. Retirement planning and employee benefits. Retirement planning is kind of our forte. I mean, we do a lot of that. Employee benefits are just loads of fun to learn about. Again, just because there's so many different ones. But again, if you're listening to my voice right now and you're working at, you're working at a company, I can pretty much guarantee you, you've got benefits. So it's really important to learn about those benefits, so that when somebody comes to a planner, to a financial person, to me, to him, whoever, and says, hey, I've got these benefits. How do I pick what I want? That's just as important as planning for income tax, as selling someone an insurance policy. All of this stuff comes into play, because it all has to dovetail together to form that financial plan. If the stuff that you've got at work, your benefits at work are not complementing what you got outside of work, there's just no point to having it then. So again, not one of my favorite topics, but again, just because there's just a lot of information, it's not really complicated. There's just a ton of stuff out there. But again, super important, because most people are going to encounter that. So again, really important to learn this stuff. And then last but not least, and this is my true favorite one, estate planning. Just shoot me in the head and get me out of it. I hate estate planning. Estate planning is incredibly complicated. For 99% of the world, it's not. But when you're taking this class, reading the book, they have to assume you're talking about the 1% that is going to be complicated. And there are so many rules. There are so many different numbers and limits and tools that come into estate planning, just like income tax. I think the reason I don't like it is because, number one, there's a lot of information with it. And number two, it involves income tax. There's when you talk about estate tax, tentative estate tax, there's so much stuff that goes into it. And again, I ran into a situation when I took the class of saying, I am not an attorney, never going to be an attorney. Why do I have to learn this stuff? And then I ran into a few situations not long after where people were coming in and they had questions about trusts or some pretty basic estate planning stuff that I was able to answer. Now, again, we've said this before. If you come to me with an estate planning question and I tell you one thing and you go to an estate planning attorney and they tell you something different, believe them. But what it's allowed us to do is have, again, just a baseline understanding of this stuff. I would say more than a baseline. Have a good understanding of this stuff, enough that we can make some very general recommendations or give you something to think about and ask an attorney about. You know, again, for most of the world, your estate plan is not going to be that complicated. You're not going to need all these different trusts and tools, because most people don't go, their estates don't go above the threshold of needing a ton of moving parts. But again, over my career, I'm probably going to run into some people. I'm sure you've run into some people that had more complicated estates than the average person. And so being able to talk about those tools, those trusts, those documents, whatever, all of these things just prove to add value to your financial person. And it helps them to, it helps more importantly than adding value to them, it helps them to do a better job for you. Because if I don't know about income tax, if I don't know about investments, if I don't know about estate planning, if I don't know about insurance, how can I possibly hope to develop a financial plan for you? Because all of this stuff comes, is what forms a financial plan. So again, if I don't have knowledge in these areas, I can't talk about them, which means I cannot give you the full service that you deserve as a financial planner. Any thoughts?
No, I just, again, it goes back again to, you can, when you go into the financial field, you can do it as a salesperson. Hey, this looks good, buy this. Yep. Or you can do it as a planner. And planners have a much longer long-term relationship with clients. Planners do a better job. Planners, one of the issues we, not issue, but one of the things are, the Journeys Group, because of the legal, the way we're legally formed, we're fiduciaries. And so we have to make the best, by law, we have to make the best recommendation there is for the client.
Yep.
And the only way we can do that is to be financial planners, not salespeople.
Yeah, I can't just know one area and think that's going to be enough, to me anyway, to just know a lot about insurance, or to just know a lot about investments or estate, you know, something, any of those things, and to be a financial planner, advisor, whatever. Again, I think you're doing your clients a disservice by not pushing yourself to learn this stuff and to know this stuff and to be able to talk about this stuff. And then the last thing we have to know, and this is one of the more interesting areas to me, is the psychology of financial planning. There's a lot of this. Because we're working with people all the time, there's a lot of psychology that goes into play. You know, you learn how to read people. And people say a lot without saying anything, with their body language, facial expressions, whatever. So it's all about learning how to communicate with people the way that they receive information. And so that's pretty interesting. I tell you all this not to, like I said earlier, not to brag about, look at what I've done, or to moan and groan about how hard it is, even though I have done that. I tell you this just so you can understand what kind of a process this is, so that when you meet with somebody, whether it be us or whoever, and you see that they have CFP beside their name, you know what that means, and you know what it took to get that. That was not, that this is not a walk in the park. This is not a, oh, I studied for 3 days and took an exam and got it. No, this is serious stuff. And so if you see somebody with CFP beside their name, they're worth their marbles, or they should be anyway, because they spent the time to learn this stuff. They had the dedication and the discipline to go through this stuff, because nobody does this for fun. I'll tell you that. This has been one of the most difficult curriculums I've ever studied. But it has been vastly rewarding with the knowledge, the information, and being able to talk the talk and be able to express this information to clients. It's been, like I said, very hard, but very, very rewarding.
Well, it's again, you just went from being a minor league player to major league.
Yeah. I mean, anybody,
there's only 12. If my last time I checked, in Pitt County.
And most of them work for banks,
there's
right?
There's probably, in Pitt County, I bet you there's 100 financial advisors.
Oh, at least, yeah.
And only 12 CFPs, and 6 of the CFPs I know of
work for banks
as trust officers.
Yeah.
So at the last time I checked, there's only 6 of us out there that you could hire to work on your stuff. Your stuff, yeah.
If you have questions about this, if you want more information about, you know, CFP versus advisor, if you want to challenge this or anything like that, give us a call, 252-746-6785. Again, 252-746-6785. It has been a long journey. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, either that or the train's about to run me over. One more to go. And all of these topics each have a class and an exam. And these are graduate level exams. And the last exam is a 7.5 hour comprehensive final. So if you happen to see me anytime out in public next Monday and I look particularly zombie like, please don't hold it against me. I've had a long morning. I promise I'm not being rude or uncivilized. It's just Monday's going to be a rough day. But anyway, again, I tell you this just so you understand when we talk about why it's so important to have a financial planner. We've talked about the logistical stuff, you know, talking about our responsibility to you. But today was really more about the educational side and what it takes to get there. So a little bit different from our normal show. I know I'm probably just preaching to you and it may sound like I'm moaning and groaning and woe is me, which is the case. So that's exactly what I'm doing. But anyway, we just coming to the end of this, I just wanted to talk about this, just to talk about my experience and the knowledge I've gained and the benefits of it, and more importantly, the benefits of working with a planner. So again, if we can help you, 252-746-6785. Hear the music in my ear, so we better get on out of here. I appreciate y'all letting us spend some time with you today. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we look forward to visiting with you next week. This is George Pate.
And this is Tommy Pate, taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.